Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another night of D&K Bible Break. This is Ms. K. I am solo tonight. I ask that you keep my husband in your prayers. He's a little under the weather. Thank you for joining us. Happy Monday. Tonight, I will be coming from Judges 13. Through 16. So I'm going to give you a minute to get your Bibles out and get your scripture in front of you. So as Judges, we're going to be coming from chapters 13 through 16 on tonight. I want to thank you for joining us on tonight for our Monday night D&K Bible Break. I'm going to be speaking about Samson on tonight. I pray that you get something out of the Word, if not for you, for someone else, to lead and guide them and draw them closer to the Lord. So I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father God, I come to you this afternoon, this evening, just thanking you for allowing us to see one more day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Ask that you let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I thank you for being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you for leading and guiding me. I ask that you reduce me and increase your spirit on tonight. Give me the words. Give me the flow the way you would have your spirit lead and guide me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I'm not going to read all of Judges. I pray that you do in your leisure. Go ahead and start at chapter 13 through 16. I'm just going to give you like a brief, breakdown of each chapter here. So in chapter 13 of Judges, basically what that this is discussing is the birth of Samson. So in this chapter here, you find Samson's parents. They don't have any children. Their mom is barren. The angel of the Lord comes to her to let her know she's going to have a child. And he gives her the instructions on how and what she should do, what she should not do during her pregnancy, as well as when Samson is born. Basically, it says no razor should touch his head. So with that being said, with chapter 13, how it starts out, we see that Samson was handpicked by God, and he had everything he needed to deliver God's people. So if you want to say supernatural strength, if you want to call him a superhero, that's what Samson was for his people. And without God's strength, Samson could do nothing. But with God's strength, he was unstoppable. So I'm going to read Judges 13 and 5, which basically gives you the beginning process of before Samson was born. It says, Judges 13 and 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So I'm going to give you tonight 3 points. My first point is Samson was chosen before birth. So just like a lot of us as children of God, just like Samson, God called us to do something for him. He doesn't look at our human abilities. He looks at our abilities and our willing heart. And we need to stop, you know, pretty much putting limits on God, because it doesn't matter what we think we can't do, what we feel about the situation. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God can do a lot in our lives if we just let him. He didn't call us because we are able. He called us because we're available. So you have to be available. You have to be a willing vessel to allow the Lord to use you. He's not a bully. He's not going to bogart you. So you have to be willing and obedient to do the work of the Lord. Now, while we're, you know, we get in our own way sometimes, but as you see, when Samson was conceived, before he was even born, while he was yet in his mother's womb, he was called to fulfill his purpose. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that things would be easy. It didn't say that everything would be okay, we wouldn't go through anything, or we would walk around with wings and nothing would touch us. The Bible doesn't say that. We all have to go through something. So, you know, the key word with going through something is the word through. It doesn't mean we stop. Going through means there's a beginning and there's an end, but you have to keep moving. You can't stop. You can't let things in life stop you. You got to keep going. You got to keep pressing. You got to keep trusting God, because you were called for a purpose. And the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you develop a relationship with the Lord, he'll show you what your purpose is. Your purpose may not look like somebody else's purpose. You have to stay focused, stay in your own lane to learn what your purpose is in this life. And just like I said, as many of us are from birth, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, there was a purpose. God has a plan for our lives. And it's up to us to walk out that plan. And, you know, we all make mistakes daily, but it's up to us to get back up, try it again, ask for forgiveness, and keep it moving. And every day we should be striving to fulfill the purpose of what God has for us. So chapter 13, that's going to be the basis, just the beginning, an intro to who Samson is and his parents and how everything came about and how he was chosen. That's going to be chapter 13. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to my second point. Now, tonight, just keep in mind, it's not going to be an hour show more than likely. So bear with me. I pray that you're taking some notes, that you're getting something from what I'm saying. Right now, I just gave you the basis of Samson being chosen. So the title, if I can, tonight is going to be Chosen, Betrayed, Redeemed. So right now, in chapter 13, we went over chosen. Just like Samson, we are all chosen as children of God, and we all have a purpose. Now, my point number two. Point number two is with betrayed. Now, what I like about point number two is, you know, this particular part of Samson, which you can find in chapters 14, I would say 14 and 15, but mainly 14 is in 14, 15, and 16, I should say, is where the betrayal comes in at. So Samson, he was actually married. His first wife, and his first wife, she went against him. She betrayed him, and by her betraying him, by wearing him down, trying to find out this riddle that he came up with for the men that were seeking to, they didn't want it. They pretty much, let me just explain it like this. So there, Samson was eyeing this woman, right, and he wanted her. And his mom and dad is like, no, why can't you choose somebody, you know, from your own hood, if I can say it that way? Why you got to go over there to the Philistines, to the pagans, and you don't need to go over there? But he wanted this woman so bad because I guess he liked what he saw. So he wanted her, he ended up getting with her, and they got married, And he, you know, they throw a party. There's like a dinner party, and there are 30 men that come to the dinner party, if you want to call them his groomsmen or his bridal party or whatever, you the groomsmen for the men. But they weren't his people. They were her people, the pagans. They were his wife's people. But these 30 men came, and Samson had this riddle that he, because he killed a lion along the way, and he came back around, and there was honey coming out of the carcass of the lion. So he had this riddle, and they couldn't figure it out. And he told them if they figured it out, he would give them, you know, material things, 30 garments of material things for each one of them. But if he didn't, then they would have to do vice versa towards him. And they came at the wife like, okay, you brought us here, and you're going to make us poor because we can't figure out this riddle. So for 7 days, his wife hounded him. She harassed him. She nagged him. She tormented him to where he just gave her and told her what the riddle said. And because she did that, she betrayed him. And Samson got so mad. He went off the chain. He wreaked havoc on everybody. And he ended up leaving, going back home with his family. After some time passes, he goes back to be with his wife, and the wife, his father-in-law, is like, well, I gave him to your best man because you were gone. You left. I didn't think you wanted her, but I got a younger daughter if you want to get with her. And Samson was furious. So he went out and he did some damage, and the people were mad. The Philistines were mad because Samson did all of this damage. So they went back to the father and the daughter, and they ended up killing the father and the daughter. And when Samson heard of this, he was so upset. So you go from chapter 14 with Samson with his wife that betrayed him to chapter 15 where Samson, he went to war. He went on a war path against the Philistines who betrayed him with them. So Samson had a lot going on in his life, and he told where his strength lied. So Samson abandoned his God-assigned mission to please the woman, this first woman. He gave up his truth to please this woman, this riddle to please this woman, because she was getting on his nerves. So that's in 13 and 14. So my point number two, Samson was opposed by the Philistines and his fellow countrymen, and chapter 16, here comes Delilah. Now, I know everybody's heard stories about Delilah. She must have been a bad chick because here she is. You would have thought Samson would have learned from his first wife with the nagging and the torturing and the just getting on the last nerve to where you just fold and be like, okay, whatever, I'm just going to tell you everything. He didn't learn his lesson because here he is again with Delilah. And now Delilah, because she was so smooth, you know, as I said, she stole his affections. And by her stealing his affections, it led him to blindness, imprisonment, and powerlessness. You know, and even worse than that, the Holy Spirit departed from Samson, all behind this woman, all behind this woman. She was a bad girl. And Delilah, you know, she was his downfall, but it looks like Samson was his own worst enemy as well, because he kept giving in to these women. And I'm not going to say they were his downfall, but they were used as a tool for his downfall to tell where his strength lies. So point number two, Samson told where his strength lies. Now, because Samson told where his strength lies, you may think like, okay, well, what does that mean? He gave up his power to the enemy. He allowed the enemy to come in and take his power from him, his God-given power. This is not power that he had on his own. This is power given by the Holy Spirit. And with that, a lot of the times, you know, we get ourselves in messes too. If I look at Samson, I'm looking at Samson, I'm like, dude, you just talk too much. Why would you tell this woman this? She kept coming to you over and over and over. I believe she came to him 3 times. And you would have thought he was like, no, she's trying to play me. But it was like he just kept telling her And then he was playing with her because he would tell her, this is what where my strength lies, and then find out that's not true. And this is where my strength lies, and find out that that's not true. So he was playing with her as well. But the thing is that he hurt himself because he ended up telling her the truth because she got on his nerves. She wore him down. And like many of us, sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we do the most. Sometimes we just need to sit back and chill and not and let God do what he's going to do. Instead, what we do, we give the enemy all the strength to use the tactics against us. And the enemy just sitting back, eating on his popcorn, eating his peanuts, because we're doing all the work for him. We get caught up so easily because we don't know how to be quiet. We want to flex. We want to show, you know, how much we know, or we want to prove something to someone. We get puffed up, and we get a puffed up spirit, and we know that that spirit is not from Christ. You know, so every day we're surrounded by Delilah-like influences, tempting us to stray from God. You know, the things of this world, they are enticing. There's a lot of things that, you know, in this world that you may want to give into. It's like the twinkling of the eye. Like, you know, when you go out to eat and you see somebody walk by, they have a nice, pretty drink, and it's so pretty. And I'm like, oh, that's so pretty. It's tempting to the eye to be like, oh, I want one of those. I can have one because I can get a virgin drink. So, but it's just tempting. It's just all these things that entice you. And how Samson was enticed, I'm sure his wife as well as Delilah, they had to be beautiful women. They knew what they were doing in order to get him. So they wore him down. So they had to be pleasing to the eyes. And with Delilah, you know, Samson, he loved Delilah, but there was no mention of her loving him. You know, I didn't find that anywhere in my studies. I didn't see anywhere where it says that she loved him. It just showed that he loved her. And in this life, you know, we choose things that can't love us the way Christ does. And we end up in situations that God never planned for us. You know, when Samson goes against God's will, he falls and finds himself weakened, blinded, and enslaved. So similarly, if we turn against God and his purpose for our lives, we lose our strength, our discernment, and our freedom, which is made possible through Christ. So, you know, in this life, we all face opposition. And with point number two, with the betrayal, now we've all been, I'm sure, been betrayed by someone. We either betrayed somebody or somebody betrayed us. Something along the line, there's been some type of betrayal somewhere. And here we have Samson goes from being chosen to being betrayed. He went from being chosen by God, being betrayed by the enemy. And if you notice, like I said, the enemy will use any tactic. He'll use anyone, anything to distract you from your purpose. And it's not like he's your friend. He can send people in your way, and you got to keep your eyes open because people will come in disguises and act like they're on your team, act like they want the best for you. You have to keep your eyes open and focus and ask the Lord to lead you and guide you, because if you don't, you will succumb to the plans of the enemy. The good thing about this, though, is that in John 16:33, it says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're going to face opposition. The beautiful thing is the Lord tells us, you know, take heart. Be encouraged. He's already overcome it. These things that we've gone through, that we go through, he's already overcome them. So he's letting us know, hey, I got you. You can make it. But you got to trust him to know that you can make it. You can't depend on your own abilities. You can't depend on your own way of doing things. You have to seek the Lord, and you got to make sure you watch who's in your circle, because like I said, everybody in your circle is not for you. So keep your eyes open. Keep seeking the Lord. The way you can tell who's in your circle, the more you talk about Christ, the more you want to do things of Christ, people start dropping off. They start fading off. It's like, nah, I'm good. You want to go here? Nah, I don't want to go. Because they know, nah, I'm not doing any of that. So that's how your circle gets tighter on and close in on who God wants in your life and who God wants to weed out of your life. So pay attention so you don't be betrayed with these Delilah-like influences in your life. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go on to point three. And I pray I'm not moving too fast because that's not what I'm trying to do. So let me just give a recap. 13, we talk about the birth of Samson. 14, Samson, he got married to his first wife who betrayed him. 15, Samson is wreaking havoc on the Philistines for killing his first wife. 16, here we have Delilah. Delilah, she's a cold sister. She going to walk in and she going to pretty much do her thing to bring Samson to his knees. So now we're up to my point number three. Point number three, Samson takes out the enemy. So I'm going to read Judges 16, and I'm going to start at verses 15 through 18 before I go any further, just to give you a little bit of what I was telling you about how Delilah wore Samson down so you can get an understanding. So Judges 16, and I'm going to start at verse 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more." He said, "He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. So what they do? They had Delilah's money in their hands because they was paying Delilah to get the dirt on the man that loved her. She did just what she was paid to do. She got the dirt. She wore him down. She broke him down. So point number three, Samson took out the enemy. Now, with point number three, the Lord forgives a repentant heart. God can use the backslidden, the disobedient, the weak, and the faithless to accomplish his will. Now, I said that because Samson, as I said earlier, the spirit had left Samson because he told where his strength lies. So when that razor touched his head and cut his hair off, he lost his strength. The Philistines were able to capture him. They gouged his eyes out. They were able to remove him from his purpose. They took him under their wings. And, you know, they serve Dagon. They serve idol God, this pagan God. So they were like, oh, you know, thinking that their God was better than our God. Like, we got Samson. We partying. We chilling. We, you know, bring Samson out. Let him perform for us because our God overruled his God. Pretty much that's what they were saying. And so Samson knew that by him telling where his strength lies, he knew that the spirit had departed from him. So with that, in Judges 16 and 28, it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. And it goes on to say, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson crying out to the Lord, asking him, you know, to pretty much let him take these people out because of what they did to him. So he's crying out to the Lord. Now, with that being said, we cannot deter God from carrying out his plan for our lives, no matter how righteous or how rebellious we are. Samson was used to fulfill God's purpose even when he strayed from his God-given calling. Our God is a sovereign God. You know, when we rebel and fall from God's grace, God takes the mess we've created and orchestrates it to achieve his perfected will. So maybe you feel like you've done too much or you don't know enough to be used by God. You know, take it from me. This is a bold-faced lie straight from hell. God can use anyone who is willing and available. So rejoice that God is in control and he uses our weaknesses and our insufficiencies for his glory. With that, Judges 16 and 30 says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He took out more people in that one stroke of him pulling down the pillars on the Philistines while they were partying, making fun of him, thinking that their God was bigger than our God. He took them all out. And with that, he took himself out. So he was able to avenge his people. He was able to avenge himself from what they did to him. So it's important that with that, we need to count on God's strength to help us, you know, fulfill his purpose in our lives. We have to rely on his wisdom and his presence to overcome obstacles. And with his help, we can walk in the supernatural strength of God, and he can help us. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take capture every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have to call those things out. We have to give God all the glory and let God fight our battles. We got to cry out to him because that is where our strength lies. So 13, 14, 15, and 16, I encourage you to read it. I enjoy reading about Samson because it just, it kind of like makes me think like, wow, I mean, you really let this woman wear you down. And it's funny how, you know, I'm sure a lot of women out there, they use this trick to this day. It may not be specifically the way Delilah did it, but shame on you if you're using what you got to do that to somebody, to bring somebody down. It's not cool. So, you know, not only women, I don't want to bag on women, because men play these games too. They do the same thing. It may be a reverse psychology, whatever mind games that they want to play. They play these games, they twist things, and they do it just to get their way. And if you're doing something to get your way, if you're doing something to manipulate somebody, you out of order. So I pray that you look at what happens when you're out of order. I pray that you think about the concept of what you're doing if you're out of order. Think about the people that you're hurting. You may be hurt, but think about what you're doing to hurt somebody else. If you don't like the feeling of being hurt, why are you wanting to hurt somebody else? You don't have to use what you got to get what you want. So with that being said, I guess I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to break down the chosen, betrayed, and my last point, if you want to make a note of it, was redeemed. So chosen, betrayed, redeemed. Point one was chosen, point two was betrayed, and point three was redeemed. So being chosen, you know, as children of God, we've been chosen to fulfill God's purpose. My path, like I said earlier, may be different from your path, but our purpose should be the same, which is to bring God glory and to honor Christ. Not only to honor Christ and to bring God glory, but we should be drawing other people unto Christ as well. We should be that light in this dark world. There should be a difference. There should be a distinction between you as a child of God versus the world. There has to be a difference. So if you claim to be a child of God, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I encourage you, make sure that you keep an eye on the way you carry yourself, because people are watching. And not necessarily people in the church, because people in the church are watching. Your brothers and sisters, saints of God, they are watching, whether it's for a good reason to encourage you or another reason to say, that's what I thought. You know, somebody is always watching, especially the world is watching. The world is watching to see if there's any type of truth to the God that you're serving. And as children of God, we have to be mindful of that. Make sure every day you strive to show forth who God really is. I'm going to share with you, I had a supervisor many, many years ago, and she was ordained by Bishop Jakes. And we all knew she was ordained by Bishop Jakes. She, you know, had the pictures and everything and all that in her office, and she cussed like a sailor. And I know some people don't think there's anything wrong with cussing, to each his own. But me personally, I'm looking like, you're a child of God, and everybody in here ain't saved. They're looking like, who is this God that you're serving? Because your mouth is like a trash box, like everything. And she would go off because she was our supervisor. She's going off on the team because we were in sales and, you know, when commission and you don't make the numbers and all of that. She was going off. And we had meetings every morning. And she would go off, and her language would be so foul. And I'm like, you're representing the Lord. And most people know who Bishop Jakes is. Not only are you representing the Lord, you're representing the bishop, too. It's looking like, okay, what are you doing? Why are you acting like this? So it's important. I know we all have things in life that we have to overcome. And I know the Lord is the one that cleans us up. At the same time, we have to do our part. We have to, you know, try to do better. We have to try. And some people, maybe they don't think there's nothing wrong with their potty mouth, but I think there's a scripture that says something about the sweet and bitter not coming out of the same faucet. So I don't understand how all that could be going down. But to each his own, just watch what you're doing because people are watching you. Chosen. That's the point of chosen. Just like Samson, he was chosen before birth. Just like Samson, we were chosen before birth. My second point is betrayed. So maybe you've betrayed someone in your life or someone close to you have betrayed you and you can't seem to move forward and let it go. Maybe you've turned your back on God and can't seem to find your way back. So I encourage you to ask that person for forgiveness if that's possible. If not, I ask that you forgive that person and totally surrender your will to Christ. The only way you can move forward when you're betrayed or you betrayed somebody, you have to ask for forgiveness. If it's a person you hurt, they're not here, ask the Lord to forgive you for doing whatever you did to betray that person. If you were betrayed by someone, I pray that you're able to somehow let it go, ask that person for forgiveness, and just try to keep it moving forward. I'm not saying it's easy, but when you hold these things in the inside, it's only hurting you. You're not going to be productive if you have all of this on the inside of you. You're not free to be who God called you to be. So you have to let it go. You have to watch out for people in your circle. Like I said, you know, they will get weeded out based off of the activities that you do, based off of the things that you say. If your conversation should change, it should not be the same as you grow closer to the Lord. And by you growing closer to the Lord, it's weeding out those people that don't need to be in your life at this time. Maybe God will have them back in your life at a later time. But don't be afraid to let people go and let situations go that are not beneficial to the building up of the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm going to say about betrayed. And my last point is redeemed. So God doesn't want you to stay in the state that you're in outside of him. He doesn't want you to be blinded, enslaved, or defeated by the enemy. Cry out to him. rely on his strength and get out of your own way and ask that his will be done in your life. You have to get out of your own way. Just like Samson had to cry out to the Lord, he said, this one last time, Lord. He cried out to the Lord to help him that one last time to take out the people who took his eyesight from him, the people who destroyed his, the people he told his strength to, pretty much. He the one who told the strength, but, you know, he had to fulfill the purpose of what God had created him for, which, like I said in the beginning, he was created to deliver God's people from, created for, and he took out many. I believe the Bible says there were like thousands of people, and there were like 3,000 people, and there were people even on the rooftops, men and women, all looking at Samson entertain them. And he took them all out. So God will redeem you. He is a redeemer, but you have to cry out to him. You have to ask him to help you. You have to ask him to strengthen you. You can't do it on your own. We do not have the human ability to do any of this. Everything that we do has to be from God, because in our own human abilities, we're going to fail. Every day we fall short, so we got to ask the Lord to redeem us. You have to ask the Lord to redeem you, to strengthen you daily, to lead you daily, to guide you daily. We have to do this. Deny ourselves daily. We have to do this, because if not, our flesh will override. This flesh can't be tamed. It will override. You have to let the Spirit lead and guide you. Now, I pray that something was said. I pray that you got something out of it. Again, we came from Judges, chapters 13 through 16. I encourage you to read it. It's a great story on Samson. You may get something else out of the scriptures. There's a lot in there. You can get a lot of things out of this passage here. So I pray that you got something in regards to being chosen, betrayed, and redeemed. I'm going to, if I can, I know I'm so early, but if I can, I'm going to close out with 2 Peter 3 and 9. It says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his purpose, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." I'm going to read that one more time. 2 Peter 3 and 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God wants all of us to repent and turn unto him. All of us. He doesn't want anybody to perish. If you think that you're not good enough, if you think that you can't do anything for God, if you think you haven't been chosen, if you feel that you've been hurt by the people you love, you feel that you've been betrayed, God does not want you to perish in that state. He loves you. He's here for you. Repent, turn from whatever that situation is, cry out to the Lord and ask him to help you make it through, help you move past whatever the situation is. He'll do it. He's listening. He's able. He's willing. He's just waiting on you. So with that being said, I pray again that you got something out of what was being said. I ask that you keep my husband in prayer, keep our bishop in prayer. We have a lot of people that are under the weather over the last couple of weeks. We ask that you keep them in prayer. We know God is yet a healer. He is on the throne. Nothing has happened that's outside of anything that he doesn't know about. Pray for everyone that's affected by this new strand of virus. Plead the blood of Jesus over everyone's lives, because, you know, the enemy, he wants to take us out so bad. So I pray whatever your day is, whatever your number comes up, that you will be ready. I pray that we'll all be ready. But in order to be ready, we have to accept the Lord into our heart, and we have to choose to live for Christ. I'm going to go ahead and give you our weekly schedules. Tomorrow night, join us right back here, same number, for Praise Tabernacle Bible study. As that you come back again, Wednesday morning, we have a lovely lady, Miss Vanessa, at 8 a.m. for vent break. We also have on Thursday night, Bishop Omar Zachary and Families at 7 p.m., same number, join us. Saturday night, we have the Overseer, Reign and Love Ministries, Spiritual Sense Life. You can catch him, I believe, on, he may be on Facebook Live as well on Saturday, but I know he's on Saturday evenings, I believe at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Central. We also have on Sunday at 9 a.m., join us right back here, Praise Tabernacle Church. We will be having our Sunday morning service. And then you can meet us again Sunday here at 5 p.m. with our Elder George Brizard, who will be on, I believe it's Watchman on the Wall, if I'm not mistaken, who will be on 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. I pray that something was said that was beneficial to you. If it wasn't beneficial to you, maybe you can share it with someone else, anything that you got out of it. Even if you didn't get anything out of it, go read Judges 13 through 16. Get something for yourself that's beneficial. Don't just take my word for it. Read the word for yourself. That's the only way you can grow is you got to get in there and you got to dig it out for yourself. Unpack the word for yourself. That's the best way. And if you don't know, get some other books to help you study and get an understanding of what the Lord is saying. If the King James Version is too much thou and thus and there for you, get a different version. Let it break it down for you. Don't stop studying for yourself. In all thy getting, get an understanding, right? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close this out. I gave us the rundown. I'm going to give you one more last thing. Our email address, if you have any prayer requests, if you have any testimonies that you want to send, you can send those to ptcforchrist@gmail.com. So that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. All right, I pray that you all have a blessed week, and let the Lord lead and guide you and direct you in all thy ways. Just pray that his will continues to be done in your life. All right, Father God, I come to you this evening just thanking you for allowing us to come together once again on this happy Monday. I ask that you continue to watch over us and protect us, protect our families as we go out on the highways, as the students return back to school, as the teachers and the bus drivers and the cafeteria workers, everyone that's going back to school, we pray that you cover them in the name of Jesus. We ask that you just let your will be done in our lives. We ask for leading, guidance, your favor, Lord. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know that nothing happens without you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your provisions. Thank you for sustaining us, keeping us, and just being the God of all gods. There's nobody greater. There's nobody bigger than you, Lord Jesus. We honor you and we praise you. We ask that you just have your way in our lives. We surrender all to you. We lay it all at our feet, at your feet. Any problems, cares, troubles that we have, things that we don't know how we're going to make it, we can't see with our own natural eyes, I pray that you work it out in the spirit and just let your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Have a good night, everybody.